It's time to pony up to the table and hear all of what's going on in the county, where it all comes together. The County Grapevine, a 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the County Grapevine. My name is Suzanne O'Connor, and with me, of course, is Mr. McQueen. Dave, how you doing?
I'm great today. I'm just great, thanks.
So, all right. So today's show, what do we got?
Well, having a baby is a life-changing event. Expectant mothers, new parents, they have a lot of questions and concerns about the health and well-being of themselves and their babies. And the Prince Edward Family Health Team is ready to help. We talk with registered nurse Jennifer Howding about the maternal and infant child care program at the Prince Edward Family Health Team. She's going to tell us what's available, how to get help with everything from prenatal education and breastfeeding to mental health tips for both parents and baby. And the Motocraft motorcycle returns to Base 31 on July 24th, 25th, and 26th. Alex DeCarche, creator of the show, joins us to talk about what's new for this year. He's going to share with us how the second year of the show will be more of a festival experience than just a show. We're also going to learn about some of the weekend's highlights and special programs. We're going to hear about music, food, demonstrations, and opportunities to ride a dirt bike, as well as what to expect from the show itself. But first, we all hope there will be an organ available if we or a loved one needs a transplant. But many Canadians haven't registered to be a donor. Mark Laundrie, co-founder and president of the Quinty Organ Transplant Support Group, is here to talk about the transplant experience, the realities of organ donation, and to share some of the experiences of transplant recipients. He's also going to tell us how easy it is to register and why that's so important. Suzanne?
Great. Thank you so much, Mr. Dave McQueen. All right. So thank you so much for coming in, Mark.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right. So for listeners who may not be familiar with your organization, can you tell us about the Quinty Organ Transplant Support Group, what inspired its creation, and who does it support?
Yeah, so our group is a collection of transplanted individuals, and we're really kind of committed to, the fact that we've all been through this life-changing event. We know the questions that people have, right? We know the stress that they feel, and we know that we can help, right? So that's one of the primary focuses that we've got. Second to that is just raising awareness, right? So, me personally, I just assumed that everybody signed their donor card when they were 16, when they got their license, like I did. And it wasn't until after I had my transplant that I realized that so few people do. I think now it's down to 32%, which really is a travesty as far as I'm concerned. So those are the two primary focuses that we focus on.
Right. Okay. So I wonder what the percentage would be of people who are really interested in doing it and are neglecting to do it, postponing like we often do, do that tomorrow, do that next week. I wonder what that percentage would be. Obviously, there's no way of finding out. We can't get in the minds of Canadians, but it would be interesting. So it's 32% of people who are getting their license, who are filling out that part, connecting to the Trillium Gift of Life Network. So we're going to be talking all about this. Okay, so let's begin with the big picture. So how many Canadians and Ontarians are currently waiting for a life-saving organ transplant, and what happens when a suitable organ doesn't become available in time?
Right. So from Ontario's perspective, typically plus or minus a few dozen people year over year, there's 1,500 folks on the transplant list. And last year, Ontario completed 1,088 transplants. So that's a significant shortfall, right? And of those, of those 1,500, 114 died on the transplant list. And those are the folks that are on the list, right? So there's a lot of individuals that get taken off the list that wouldn't be included, right? So some unforeseen circumstance happened. So like myself personally, I had a liver transplant and I had liver cancer three different times. And I'm on the list as long as it stays in my liver. If there was ever an opportunity where it might come out, I'm off the list, right? And then I wouldn't be counted as somebody that died on the list. So it's actually much higher than that 114.
Right. Okay. Sorry. What did you mean when you just said when it did come out? What was that?
If the cancer that I had spread from my liver, if there was any indication that it spread from my liver, I would have been taken off the list.
I see. And that is because you are of not optimum health?
Because it's not confined to my liver anymore. And it's specific. This is specific to livers, right? That cancer.
And people are taken off the list if they're not of optimum health, because then they think, well, you're too risky that you might pass away anyway mm-hmm. on the surgery table.
Yeah, that's right. Or some other comorbidity that a lot of folks have kind of rears its ugly head. And yeah, and they need to take care of that first before they get that transplant. And sometimes it gets out of control. And
sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm actually privy to what you're talking about, because my sister, sometimes she has been on a list for a lung transplant. She's not on a list right now because she's, responding really, really well to medication. But the thing is, if she's not responding well, then perhaps she will not be able to be on the list. So I understand all the nuances, and it's really, really quite complicated because a person might be on a list for a really long period of time. Their health isn't good, or like you say, something else comes up where it is deemed a priority by the health industry. And I can't believe how frustrating it must be when people are filled with so much hope.
Right. Yeah, indeed.
Okay. So probably many people think that, you know, I'm going to get around to registering someday. Why is it so important to officially register your wishes as an organ or even a tissue donor instead of simply, you know, telling your family about it?
Right. Well, you know, I would say that one thing I've learned on this journey is that tomorrow is never promised, right? And, you know, that certainly makes it a priority. It's a 2-minute process. And once you're done for the rest of your life. I think one of the key reasons why you need to sign up through beadonor.ca is the fact that you're on an official registry. So if you're ever in a position where you might have the opportunity to donate your organs, it's important to be on that registry, because the doctors will let folks know in Trillium, and then they check to see immediately if you're on the list or not. And if you're not, there's no going forward.
Okay, and when you said Trillium, this is the Trillium Gift of Life Network that has a link on your website.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Okay, so now if people are listening in another province, or they are listening in another area of Ontario and they are interested, or maybe somebody's listening and they think that their relative might be really interested in making sure that they are registered, there's some links, right, that people can go to that are on the Trillium Gift of Life Network?
Oh, yeah, that's a comprehensive website. Yeah, if you're looking for support from a live donor kind of perspective, you can find that there. If you're looking for a support group such as ourselves, there's an entire list across all of Ontario. So if you've got those kind of questions and you're wondering, hey, is there a group in Sarnia that does this kind of support work? I know that there is. Kingston has one as well. There's a list probably 50 different organizations across Ontario that support transplant folks.
Okay, that are just like your organization, mm-hmm. the Quinty Organ Transplant Support Group. Okay, is Trillium just Ontario, do you think, or is that?
It is just Ontario, yeah.
Okay. All right, so can you explain how organ donor registration works here in Ontario? And is it possible to choose which organs or which tissues that you want to donate? Because I know, let's say you're like, I'm donating my whole body, but there's something about my eyes. I don't want somebody else to have my eyes or my heart or something like mm-hmm. that. How does that work?
Well, the process itself is extremely simple. So all you need is your health card, and you know, if you can remember your date of birth, that's good, right? So you just go to the beadonor.ca website. There's a button there where you click register. You put in your health card number, your date of birth, click next, and then it'll provide you the opportunity to exempt specific things like you mentioned, right? So if you're not comfortable with donating your eyes or something like that, there's an entire list of codes where you can exempt specific things.
Okay. And you can even, I'm sure, Google it as well. Be a donor.
Yep.
Okay.
.ca, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Beadonor.ca. All right. What are some of the biggest myths that you hear, and what would you like people to know to demystify some of this?
Sure. I would say the biggest myths, so we do a lot of we have a lot of tables at events and stuff like that. And I have conversations with a lot of retired folks. And the first thing that they say is, I'm too old to sign up as a donor. And the story I always refer to is somebody I met at the Canadian Transplant Association. They have games every other year. So I met somebody there who at 19, she had an acute liver failure, right? And ended up needing a liver transplant. The liver that she got was from somebody that was 85 years old. She was 19 then. She's 43 now, right? You know, she's a little bulldog, that's for sure. And for her 20th anniversary, she walked from Toronto to Montreal in 14 days. 550 kilometers in 14 days.
And how many surgeries did you say that she has had?
She had one liver transplant.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And the person was how old that had the original liver?
He was 85.
Wow, yeah, 85. That is a great story.
It is. Her liver now is 112 years old. And I know that it'll be 25 years in a year or so. And she's looking to, what can I do to one up the 550 kilometers in 14 days? It's impressive, right? You know.
Now, what if a person is of not optimum health and they are donating? So they might be 85. Is it possible, do you think, where certain parts of their body might be still really healthy enough, like maybe their heart, even though their liver isn't so good? So yeah. How does medicine, how did they decide that? Or do they not know until literally when the person dies and then their liver is like, oh, it's not in great shape?
Yeah. So they do assessments, right, at the time, right? And so if we go to another myth that we've got is that folks say, you know, I can't guarantee that I'm going to get the best medical care, right, if they want to harvest my organs kind of thing, right? And, you know, there's an elaborate process to make sure that there's no kind of conflict of interest, right? So you've got the doctors at the hospital will do what they can do to save your life. And when they decide that there's nothing more we can do to help this person, there'll be a rep from Trillium at the hospital. They'll let that person know. They will check the donor list. And if they're on the donor list, they'll reach out to, in this case, it would be Toronto, and let them know that they've got somebody that's on the donor list. They will send a team that is organ-specific to do the retrieval, right? So there'll be a team for the heart, there'll be a team for lungs, there'll be a team for liver, there'll be a team for kidneys, right? And they come and do the retrieval, and then that team, again, is totally separate from the team that actually does the transplant, right? So there's a whole bunch of people between the person at the end of their life and the person that receives their transplant, right? So there's never any kind of conflict of interest, so that just doesn't happen. And so with that, with those teams that come to do the retrieval, they do the assessment at the time, right? So, and that's exactly it. Maybe you've got a great heart, but, you know, your lungs aren't in good shape, so each team does that assessment at the time.
You alluded a few minutes ago to something that you just called the games. So you partook in this. This was on Canada Day, is that right?
No, it was the 5th through the 11th. So I just got back from, we had them in Sherbrooke this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just got back from Sherbrooke.
So what did you participate in? Oh, actually, when was your surgery, your liver transplant?
November of 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're coming up on 7 years.
Okay.
I took part in, there's a 5K cycle and a 20K cycle. So I took part in both of those and won gold for both of them. Yay me. I would say one good story that we came out in that 20K cycle race. Typically when you have your transplant, you're off work for 6 months or so, right, before you get back to work. There was an individual there, a woman who was probably in her late 30s. She had a double lung transplant January 2nd, so like 6 months ago, and she completed that 20K bike race. That's impressive as well, right?
So many really, really great stories.
Mm-hmm, there is.
Okay, so now I know that your website has launched something new, and then also you're very busy on Facebook connecting with people, right? Can you talk about these two avenues that people can use as a way of finding out information and communicating with your organization, whether they want to know more about donating or whether they are in line themselves themselves for a transplant or think that they might be in the near future. Can you talk about that, how it is that you network with people?
Well, from the website's point of view, I know when I personally was going through the process, you've got a lot of questions, right? It was a fairly long journey, and over the course of time, you've got a lot of questions about different things, and you're looking up things here, looking them up there. Sometimes I would spend hours trying to find the answer to one question, right? So we felt it was important to kind of have one resource where folks can go instead of just, you know, spending the entire day on Google, right? So we've got a lot of resources there specific to kidneys and livers and hearts and UHN. So, you know, they do an incredible deep dive on the transplantation process and pre and post stuff. What kind of opportunities are there for living donors, right? What kind of support is for them? There's all kinds of stuff. And we just felt it was important that there's one spot for that versus fishing all day, right? And then Facebook is just, you know, raising awareness, seeing the things that we do, hopefully driving engagement, you know, get some people excited, come on out and help us, that kind of thing. So that's really what the Facebook is, and the communication, right? So we have a lot of folks reach out to us on Facebook. And so with those kind of things too, actually, this weekend, we've got the Festival on the Bay in Trenton. So we'll have a table there from Thursday through Saturday. So if you've got any questions, come on down and ask away.
Really amazing. You've been speaking, or we have been speaking with, and you've been listening to co-founder and president of the Quinty Organ Transplant Support Group. My name is Suzanne O'Connor. When we come back from this commercial break, we're going to be speaking with the creator of Motocraft. So this is going to be a three-day event that happens all weekend long at the end of July. Right after this, we're going to be speaking with Alex DeCartier.